y'all just listen to the words of this song. When I heard it, I thought, there's another song I got to learn.
Amen.
And, good. You know, God's everywhere, and we know that.
Yeah.
So, y'all just remember Bonnie, too. She called me again this morning. She said, keep her in prayer, and Brother Mark, too.
Amen.
She's out here
this morning.
Keep with
her. Amen.
Amen.
Singing that.
Good singing, sir.
Man, for the hour we're living in, that's wonderful. Mm.
I had never done that twice, but I thought, Lord, I'm
going
to
learn that.
Amen.
Glad to see everybody here this morning.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Glad to see Mitchell back.
Yeah.
Amen.
Phyllis, too. Amen.
Phyllis, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to do this one for you, Mitchell.
Bless him, Lord.
Sharon wanted me to do this one.
Who am I? Yeah.
Who am I?
Came to dwell.
good song. Who am I?
Yes.
Amen.
Daddy, I don't want to take too much time. There's a song when I did just play. I just like to do it. I know Ed's going through a lot right now.
Bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's a good place to be. Amen.
Amen.
In a hurry. Probably ain't going to work out for you.
All right.
Hey. Bible said, be still. Know that I'm God. Psalm 46, verse 10. This one of them times just to be still and enjoy the things of God.
Yeah.
Let the world chase after the things of the world. But
that's right.
I'm kind of like Joshua. That's me and my house. We're just going to serve the Lord. Amen.
No hurry.
Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless you, sister. Go ahead.
Y'all don't listen to the way I say it.
Bless
just the words. Just listen to the words.
Yeah.
It's got beautiful words in it.
Bless her. Use her, Lord. Use her.
Bless her, Lord.
Bless her, Lord. Bless her,
Lord.
Bless her, Lord. Good job. Amen. Not just a good song. Good job with it. Amen.
That's right.
You know, if it wasn't for the Lord,
that's
if I didn't have Him on my side,
hey, amen.
That's right.
I couldn't face tomorrow.
That's right.
I've been through a lot. And a lot of times it gets rough.
Bless you.
When those days gets rough,
yeah.
I just fall down and pray to God.
Amen.
Say, Lord, get me through another day.
Yeah. Amen.
That's all I have to live for.
That's right.
Just to face tomorrow and bless live another day.
Yeah. Amen. You
know.
Amen. Amen. Are we done? All right. Praise the Lord. I don't know how you follow that, because that was good. But I'll tell you what, God's the only one I know that can outdo Himself, and we do expect the Lord to do His part here today. We're glad to be here. We've got Patrick's mom and dad here. I didn't get their name, but we're glad to have them here.
Yeah.
We're going to be baptizing today after the service, Patrick and his son Micah, and we look forward to that. Praise God. I'm glad not only the Lord give us this beautiful day, but I'm glad, praise God, He allowed us to gather in His house. And you know, these are terrible times. A lot of things going on right now, strange days. Whoever thought they'd be trying to close the churches down, and yet they are. And whoever thought, you know, there'd be a toilet paper shortage or hand sanitizer, rubber glove shortage, or whoever thought there'd be a corn shortage. And you'll get this on a slow train, but you're getting ready to have a mail shortage. You can just write that down.
Yes.
I just want you to know there's a lot going on. I'm going to take this jacket off. I have to admit, I done worked up a little bit of a sweat up here, but praise God, it's good to be here. Amen. This morning, as I was on my way here, I was praying and my phone started ringing, and it was Brenda back there, and she was calling to say, Brother Eddie, I just don't think I can make it today. My neck's kind of hurting. And I said, well, Sister Brenda, I said, you're going to miss a good one. She said, I'll be there. And she said, pray for me. And I said, I don't care if you got to bring a pillow, bring it with you, come. And I started praying for Brenda. And Brenda, you listen to me real good right here. This song came on the radio as I was praying for her. And I had to let up praying just a little bit, listening to this song. But I want you to learn this song, because this song's for you. I can't sing it. But the song is, I Know God Is Big Enough. That's the name of the song. And in that song, this young girl singing this song, boy, it's a good song. She said, for the race I'm called to run, I know God is big enough. Don't you learn that song? I'm dead serious. I thought about you when I heard that song. I said, not only am I glad to hear that song, but I want Brenda to learn that. You look that up. I'm not sure who sings it, but boy, I want you to know it blessed me coming and going. I'm trying to drive down the road with one hand and wiping tears and trying to pray and all of that. I know God is big enough. You remember that. Write that down. Don't forget it. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we tried to preach this message last Sunday. If you were here, you know what I'm talking about. We didn't get done. And I hope that we can do better this Sunday. But we're going to try again to preach this message on redeeming the times. And we're taking our text out of Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll reread these first 16 verses here. And verse 16 is our text verse. And we'll get right with it here. Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. And he writes and he says, be ye, now I've told y'all this, ye is the plural of all of you. In other words, he says, all of you therefore, when he says be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us and have given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light.
Right.
For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Here's our text verse. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And we'll go to God in prayer.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the precious word of God.
Yeah.
Lord, for such a time as this, Lord, we desperately need the word of God. I pray you'll bless your words today. Bless me, Father, today, and use me, God, today. Lord, Peter said, let every man minister as the Lord gives ability. And Lord, you said, without you we could do nothing in John chapter 15. And Lord, I want to be used of God, so I pray, Father God, today, that Lord, you could preach to me, preach through me, to your praise and glory. May we all give attendance to your words today. Father, lead and guide in this service. Bless our efforts today. We give you all the praise and the glory. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the first point I mentioned last Sunday was the days are evil. And we can all say amen to that, Brother Ed.
Amen.
Whoever thought we'd see the things that we're seeing, they're not in secret no more. They're right there on the TV, right there in the streets. It's just not safe no more. And you know what? It's going to get worse, not going to get better. It's going to get worse. But I'm preaching to you today that are saved, you today that are in the church today. This is more of a pastoral type message than anything. But those days I'm talking about that are evil, during those days, my second point is your walk is important.
Amen.
Notice verse number 1 and verse number 2. Paul said, be ye therefore followers of God. You're going to follow something.
Right.
The world's either going to take note of you that you're a Christian, or they're going to call you a hypocrite.
Right.
They're going to say, and I thought he is saved. I don't like those words, but they're spoke a lot, and they're spoke about you and me. Walk, it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us and have given himself for us. Did you hear Brother Danny singing that song? Who am I?
Yeah.
Now listen. He's worthy to receive the reward.
That's right.
Of his suffering.
Amen.
Now, Brother Mitchell, we may not get it, but he's worthy to receive it.
Amen.
Who am I that one such as him would step down from heaven itself, come down here and allow himself to be spit upon, to lay stripes upon his back, to put my crown of thorns upon his royal brow, and press it in that the blood would drip down his cheeks, and they plucked the hair from his face, and they beat him unrecognizable to their blood. Amen.
Amen.
God only asked us reasonable service.
Right.
Paul wrote to the church of Rome, In Romans chapter 1, verse number 1, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's just normal. That's what the world needs. They need us to be what God made us. We're children of light. Hey, them grandbabies, they need to see the light of grandma and grandpa. And let me tell you this, they need to see the light of mom and dad.
Amen. That's right.
But the likelihood
That's right.
is probably going to be greater with grandpa and grandma and with mom and dad.
Right.
That's the kind of day we're living in, mom and dad.
Right.
They're in a hustle and a bustle trying to make ends meet.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Paul went on to say in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye rather transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable unto God.
Yeah, that's right.
That's just your reasonable service.
Uh-huh.
That's what he's saying here. I beseech you, brethren.
Right.
Hey, he said, be followers of God. Your walk's important.
Yeah.
And the world's gonna watch you.
Right.
Hey, let me tell you, they're watching you. Oh, yeah. They're taking note of all the times you mess up. You better believe it.
Right.
Not only is the world watching you, but your children are watching you, and you can guarantee the devil's watching you.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
Bible said he's the accuser of the brethren.
That's right.
Hey, he knows everything there is to know about me, brother, and he makes sure everybody else finds out about it too. Amen.
Right.
It's my fault if I'm out of line. Amen.
Amen.
The devil wants nothing more for you to jaywalk on God.
That's right.
The Bible says make straight steps for your feet. Walk in the light. He's in the light. Hey, make your path straight, not crooked. Amen.
Right.
But the devil, they want you. The devil wants you to jaywalk on God. They say to me all the time, Brother Eddie, I wish I could have a closer walk with God. I think Sister Sharon sings that song sometime. Just a closer walk with God. Don't you sing it sometime? Somebody sung that here. It may have been Brenda back there. I thought I heard somebody sing that here. But you know what? You can have a closer walk with God. Sure can. God, he ain't going to come out of the light. Now, God's light, and in him no darkness at all. You forget about the 50 shades of gray when it comes to God. He's light. In him is no darkness at all.
Right.
And if you want a closer walk with God, Brenda, all you got to do is get in the light where he is. And I want you to know, if you walk in the light where he is, you can have a closer walk with God.
Amen. That's right.
The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, verse 7, says God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And I want you to know, but if you want a closer walk with God, you've got to get in the light to walk with God.
Amen.
But if we say that we know God and we have fellowship with him, we got to walk in the light as he's in the light.
Right.
Then we have fellowship one with another.
Right.
Now, you just ain't going to have no closer walk with God any other way. But if you do desire a closer walk with God, well, you can just do what the Bible says and draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. You might as well say, amen right there. Amen.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Now, we just had a little bit of, you know, a world that they kind of want to rock your boat a little bit. We had just a little minor boat rocking a little bit. And the next thing I know, there wasn't nobody here but me and old Brother Ed. He called me up. He said, what are we going to do? I said, well, I don't know about you, brother. And I just said, go ahead and have the church doors open. He said, well, if you're going to be there, he said, I'm going to be there. So here me and Brother Ed was here. And if you fall back on them services, you'll hear him and me, we're singing, won't it be wonderful there? And I'll tell you what, even though it's just him and me here, we're doing the best we could. But I want you to know, God blessed that faithfulness. And we kept the doors of the church open.
Yeah.
I wish we had that live streaming like what he's got going on back there right now.
Yeah.
I don't know how we could have got it on film. But it's pretty intimate. Me and Brother Ed, he's trying to act like he's 50 here. I'm trying to act like I'm Maze Jackson or one of the big name preachers or something like that. But the world wants to close the doors to the church.
Right.
And shame on us if we let them do it. And I say that with charity. Amen. Hey, listen, your walk is important.
Yes, right.
It is. That's right.
The world is watching you.
Yes.
You're gazing in stock.
Right.
Let me give you an example of that. I worked in a factory, Argyle and Sons, and lo and behold, Eddie Wade got saved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about a filthy bunch, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So here I am out there, and they hear about old Eddie Wade getting saved, sir. And they're coming around, and they're kind of watching old Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm in the restroom in there, and I'm washing my hands, and the foreman comes in and says, "What do you know?" I said, "I know I'm saved." He said, "You can't know you're saved." I said, "I know I'm saved." I said, "I don't know about you, but I know I'm saved."
Amen.
He said, "You can't know you're saved." I said, "I know I'm saved. By the way, for what it's worth, God said, these things I've written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life." 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. God wants you to know that you're saved. And if there's any doubt, you need to work that out. The Bible said in the book of Philippians, work out your own salvation. Notice that. Your own salvation with fear and trembling. If anybody ought to know, you ought to know. Amen.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
That's
but
right.
Praise God, I told him, Brother Mitch, I said, "I know I'm saved." Amen.
Amen.
I don't know what kind of tree he fell out of, but praise God, I'm glad I do know I'm saved.
Amen.
Amen. Well, anyway, after that work, I was getting asked all kind of questions. And most of them, I was messing them up. But I will tell you this. You know what they wanted more than anything? They wanted me to fall off the wagon.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted me to go back to drinking again. So they'd say,
"Whew."
Man, they wanted to say, and I thought there was something to that. It's that your walk's important.
Yeah, that's right.
There's people in the valley of decision. And fellas, you don't want to make a difference. When they see you get up and come to church.
That's right.
I remember hearing a story my pastor told it about a man every Sunday he went to church. His neighbor was deaf and dumb. He couldn't speak, couldn't hear. And he was a drunk. And anyway, every Sunday, said, well, he saw his neighbor every Sunday go to the house of God. Every Sunday.
Amen.
You know what happened? It wasn't too long. That guy showed up to church.
Amen.
And he showed up at church, and man, the preacher got up there and preached, and man, all he knew was he needed what his neighbor had, so he came forward, and he finally got somebody that could talk with their hands.
Amen.
And he said, "I'm lost, I need to be saved." And they told him with their hands how to be saved, and he got saved, and he gave a testimony.
Amen.
And his testimony was, "I got saved because my neighbor came to church every Sunday because he was faithful." He never said a word to him.
Amen.
But his walk talked.
That's right.
Your walk's important.
That's right.
There'll be somebody, they'll say, "I'll tell you what, I seen Brenda go when she didn't even feel like going."
Yeah, that's right.
I got three blessings this week. One of them was from Sarah back there. She called old Brother Ed. I saw Brother Ed's blessing this week.
Yeah.
And then Brenda called me and I got another blessing. If that wasn't enough, Brother Bob Malkin up there, you know, knowing about that Orthodox saint Jew up there in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, he called me. And praise God, next thing I know, but I mean, the dog's going to run off. I mean, we're shouting,
amen.
Praise God. They didn't know what was even safe. Stay in the room with me or not. But Bob called me and cheered me up. They cheered me up. And praise God. That's what we do. Our walk is important.
Right.
I've got to be quick. I'm looking at the clock back there and it's against me. Your talk is important. Look at verse 4. In verse 4 it says, "Neither filthiness no, a foolish talking." That's what I did before I got saved.
That's right.
So if I wasn't no change, then I wouldn't have been an influence on the people I work with, and I was an influence.
That's right.
And you can be too. But your talk, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Let me throw this in here real quick because I feel like a little above my remembrance for this time right here. I tell you what I worked at. We printed magazines. I worked there 32 years. I believe that's right. Well, anyway, we get these jobs, put them on, get them going, and we get it where it looked like what we were supplied to go by, and we do what was called a color show. We'd take it in there in this room, and these guys, they were called customer service, they look at it and say, no, the customer, he don't want it to be too red, he don't want it to be too blue, but we try to work together to get a product that the customer would be satisfied with, and then we'd sign off on it, and the customer would say, good job, or they'd say, you need to do a better job next time. So anyway, we're in the room in there, and I'm laying this job out, and Fred Bailey's in there, he's a black guy, and Mike Cuffin's in there, and he's a white guy, and he's pretty rough. I don't really mind being in the room with these two guys. Now, I want you to understand, I just got saved. It ain't like old Brother Eddie quotes the Bible like he does now. I didn't quote a lot of Bible. I just got saved. All of a sudden, in this same room with me and Fred Bailey and Mike Compton, here comes Tom Schoen. Now, this is a little different. Now, me and Tom Schoen was one and the same. And he's over these two guys. He's their boss. So he walks in that room, and here's what he says, Danny. He said, did I ever tell you the one? And I start walking away from him. I'm kind of hoping he'll take a hint. And he's following me around in this room. Finally, I realized what I was doing wasn't going to work. And I said, Tom, if you would please, I'd rather not hear that. I said, I've got saved.
Amen.
And I said, you knew me before I got saved. I'd love to hear it. I told you another new topic. And Fred Bailey and Mike Compton run out of the room, horse life at us, and Tom stays in the room. And I'm expecting Tom to laugh me to scorn. And Tom said, I'm sorry, I didn't know. He said, I hope I haven't offended you. I said, no, Tom, it's okay. You didn't know. But you see, beforehand, we'll walk together.
Yeah,
right. He'd have told me one, I'd have told him one.
Right.
And Christ wouldn't have been glorified in that. No. Fred Bailey rededicated his life. He's a deacon in a church now.
Amen.
I don't know the status of Mike Compton. I know he got a divorce right after that. Was married to a very godly woman, I tell you that. Tom Schoen had respect for me from that day on.
All right. Amen.
I don't know whether he ever got saved or not. I tried my best to win to God.
Yeah.
Very rich man. Very learned man. I could just been like this verse here. Nor jesting, nor foolish talking, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. You know, our talk is important. Look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, not only is your talk important, but even in your mind, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. It put a distinction on what kind of songs are. But your talk's important. Do you know Peter was accused of being a disciple of Christ in Matthew chapter 26, verse 73? What did he do? Well, he started cussing like a sailor.
Yeah.
He began to curse and deny that he knew Jesus, and a little rooster crowed. Amen. In verse number 74, what did Peter do? Well, he remembered the word of the Lord and he went out and he wept bitterly.
That's right.
Verse number 75. You see, we're supposed to be blameless and harmless, the children of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. I don't know if that's talking about America or not, but it sure did describe it.
That's right.
Amen, Brother Mitchell. Thank you. Boy, we're losing it.
Yes, we are.
We're losing it in what I'm concerned about more than anything. Any of y'all pick up, any of y'all watch what's going on?
Oh, yes, sir.
Have you noticed I'm trying to take up on the pledge of the United States,
right,
one nation under God? This is the second time. Yeah, you remember the last time it happened? And they all come up on the steps and recited the pledge of allegiance,
right,
and one nation under God, indivisible. If you'll notice, they're leaving it out on purpose.
Right.
They're nodding their head and pausing and then saying the rest of the pledge of allegiance. I want you to know we've become a wicked, perverse nation.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that happen, Brother Ed?
You're right.
I'll tell you how it happened. We're not been paying attention to our talk and our walk.
That's right.
We just kind of, for lack of better words, been kind of slacking a little.
Amen.
That's right.
Slacking in our praying, slacking in our talking and walking. Crooked and perverse nation.
That's right.
That's in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, if you ever want to know what it's at. Verse 16 says, holding forth the word of life. That's why I've got them magnetic signs on the back of my truck trying to fulfill that verse. Holding forth them magnets, holding them scriptural signs on my truck. Holding forth the word of life. You're either going to hold it or you're going to let it go.
That's right.
And we need to hold it. Amen. It's one of the times, boy, we need to be holding. We need to be steadfast, unmovable. You know Lot lost his testimony down there in Sodom in Genesis chapter 19, verse 12 through 14. Why was that important, Brother? I'll tell you why it's important. I'm going to go back and read it. I want you to get this.
Yeah.
See, we're in the world, but we're not of the world.
Amen.
In Genesis chapter 19, I want you to listen to this. The angels are speaking a lot in verse 12. And these men, these angels are always men, just write that down. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Why, Brother Eddie? Listen. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. These two angels have come to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
Lot's here. He ain't supposed to be there, but he's there by choice. Not like the church today. We're right in the middle of it.
Right, right.
God drug him out by the hand of prayer. I guess God's going to drag us by the hand too. But I want you to get this. He's supposed to go warn his family. You listen, Brother Eddie, please, right here. Your testimony is important.
Yeah, that's right.
Lot lost his.
Amen.
Yeah. Verse 14, and Lot went out. Let me make it personal. What if God told you, Carolyn, I'm calling the church out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. If you got into lost family members, you better get them to Calvary and get them saved.
That's right.
Or they ain't going to make it. Listen, if you miss the rapture, I don't know how much Bible you know, but if you miss what's mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 4 about them which sleep, Christ will bring with Him when He comes, and us which are alive should be called up in the clouds to be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. If you miss that, no hope.
Right.
No help.
Right.
You're going to be destroyed just like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, right.
That's why Jesus said, be ye ready, for such a hour as you think not, He's coming. Mm-hmm. He said, watch. Right. Blessed is he whom the Lord finds watching when He comes. I'm watching. Man. Oh yeah, I watch the news. I'm redeeming the times, amen. Well, listen. If Carolyn went out and she had lost family members, and they said, Carolyn, we've been watching you. We ain't got no stock in you. Well, that's pretty much what Lot got.
Right.
It says that Lot went out. Now, I just use Carolyn because she's sitting on the front row. Tears are dripping off her cheeks. Yeah. But and Lot went out. He got word. Destruction's coming. It's an urgent matter. They said, get them. Get them out of here. We're fixing to destroy this place.
That's right.
And Lot went out, Brother Mitchell, and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And said, up. Get ye out of this place. For the Lord will destroy this city. Notice this. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They didn't make it. You know what Lot got out with?
Mm-hmm.
Two daughters.
Right.
And his wife made part of the way out.
Yeah.
God told him, don't look back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
She right.
She got out of the city.
Yeah.
But she didn't make it very far.
No, she didn't.
I certainly understand why she looked back, Brother Mitchell.
She
had children back there. Can you imagine being called out and you got children here?
Amen.
I can't put her down for it.
No.
Right, right. That's right.
I probably look back too.
Yeah.
I can't put her down.
Amen.
She got babies back there.
Right.
They're fixing to be destroyed.
Yeah.
Now God, He's sovereign. Mm-hmm. He can't go back on His word. He said, don't look back. You know, when they come down to Jericho, don't take nothing out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Achan took out what he took out, and all his family, including him, died.
That's right.
God's sovereign. We got to win our family to God.
Amen.
Our walk is important.
Our
talk is important.
Right.
Yeah.
Walk it and talk it.
Amen.
What you got to do.
Amen. Carolyn, 29 December. Your mission is fine tune that song, Where's the Line to See Jesus?
Amen.
You got 3 months before December gets here, but December gets here. Where's the line to see Jesus? Is He here at the store?
Bless Him.
Today is His birthday. Why don't we see Him more?
Amen.
I'll tell you why we don't see Him more. That's why we don't.
Right.
That's why we don't.
That's right.
Close your mouth.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
That's right.
It's our fault for this falling away, but it's got to be. I understand that, but I don't want to be attached to me. I'm going to do what I can while I can. I know the day is coming we ain't going to get to do much of nothing, but holding forth the word of life, I want to do that. Lot lost his testimony. You ever heard of a man called King Agrippa? In Acts 26 verse 28, he told Paul, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul said, I would to God that you was altogether like I am, except for these bonds. He had changed on him. He said, except for these, I wish you was just like me. I wish you was as free as I am.
Yeah. Amen.
Felix, in Acts 24, he wanted to hear Paul according to the word of God, and Paul got to preaching. Felix trembled. He said, go that way, Paul. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you.
Amen.
He never did call.
No.
Right.
You're either going to win them or you're going to lose them.
Right.
Your walk's important. Your talk's important. I know this is kind of a pastoral type message, but your drink's important. Hey, Brother Eddie, watch it now. I noticed last, I guess it's Saturday night, I noticed as I drove out to Glasgow on the road, I noticed they got a saloon now on Columbia Avenue. Everything now, selling liquor, selling drink,
right.
Selling on Sunday. Hey, buy it here, buy it now. Your drink's important. I got something good to say about it, something bad to say about it.
Right.
Yesterday, well, verse 18 is our verse we're going to connect with. You drink, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, which we got it, buddy. Oh, yeah. Well, then a mile here, I guess you could probably buy. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's the right kind of drinking. But anyway, yesterday, going to the hospital to see my wife, I could hear someone cursing. I mean, before I ever seen him, I could hear him. I don't know who it was. I'm trying to figure out where it's coming from. Now, I'm hearing it. I'm saying, Jericho, I see this woman, and she's like I used to be. She's drunk, and her daughter's 50 years old, and she's trying to help her get to the car. And I walk over there, and old Brother Eddie, I said, y'all need some help? And the lady said, well, I'm needing no help. And her daughter said, would you please help me, sir? I'm trying to get my mother to the car. I said, I'll be glad to help you. And her mother looked at me and said, who are you? I said, I'm Brother Eddie, ma'am. I got her under one arm, and her daughter crying her eyes out, got her under the other arm. We're going down there. If you've ever been around drunk, and I've been one enough, I knew exactly what I was dealing with. They allowed me to do or say anything. We're going down there, and she said, where are we going? Who'd you say he was again? Anyway, we got her down the car. And she said, what did you say your name was? And I said, my name is Brother Eddie. I said, I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor of Landmark Baptist Church. And I gave her one of the cards of my church. I hope I didn't do us no harm there. But I said, I just want you to know Jesus loves you. I gave her one of these tracts right here. And I said, when you sober up, I said, I want you to read that. She said, what is it? I said, it's good news. Uh-huh. You know what she told me? She said, I'm a Christian. It just didn't add up a
lot.
I mean, I heard her cursing. She's taking God's name in vain. And the Bible said, that will hold him guiltless to take my name in vain. I'm hearing her cursing before I ever even see her. And here her daughter is. She's 50 years old. Brenda, and she's crying her eyes out. It's embarrassing to her right there in front of everybody. Her mama said, I got 10 kids. I said, well, you got one here trying to help you. And old brother Eddie, I'm going to help you. We did get her in the car.
Right.
I just want you to know, buddy, I'm kind of glad that I was there for such a time as that. But old brother Eddie, I was able to help her. I used to be a drunk myself.
Right.
My pastor, Brother Ricky Prophet. Great man of God.
Amen.
His younger brother, Derek Prophet.
Right.
One night late, knocked on Brother Rick's door, and he's drunk and a skunk. Brother Rick opened the door. And Derek, he said some things he shouldn't have said.
Amen.
Brother Rick just pulled him up and hugged him. Brought him in the house, fixed him a cup of coffee. And he's talking like drunks, dude, Derek was. And then Brother Rick went over and put him on the couch and covered him up and kissed him on the forehead. The reason I know that is Derek gave that testimony at church.
Amen.
And as he's crying his eyes out, he said, I thank God for men like my brother.
Amen.
Knows what to do when a drunk shows up. That's what we've got to learn to do.
Yep. He's right.
See what I mean?
Yep.
We're here for that very reason.
Right.
To be a help. Hey, listen, drunks need help. I said I had something good to say about drunk. Peter was accused of being a drunk in Acts chapter 2, but this time he could deny the accusation. He said, we're not drunk as you suppose, but they just filled with the Spirit. It's okay when you're about three sheets in the Holy Ghost, and I do that a lot. I'm telling you, I drive down the road sometimes, the phone rings, and people probably wish they didn't call me. By the time they get off the phone, they say, I'm never calling him again. I tell you, buddy.
Amen.
It happens, amen. Oh, well, I get it quite often. I'll hear a song like the one I heard right after I got off the phone with Sister Brenda this morning. My God is big enough. You remember that. You write that down. I'm going to count on you to learn that song. I want to hear you sing it.
Mm-hmm.
Your drink is important.
Right.
Your singing is important.
Right.
You know who was over the music of heaven? Does anybody know? Anybody know? Did you know the devil was over the music of heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel chapter 28. Yeah. Ezekiel chapter 28. Did you know all rock and roll singers seek the endorsement of Satan on their music? Do you know that?
Oh, yeah.
They'll tell you. They won't deny it. I mentioned early in the service, I really hadn't mentioned, but I mentioned a song called Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin. And I used to play it. I mean, I'm glad I'm saved. Can't deny this, but I used to play Stairway to Heaven. The one that wrote the words down the Stairway to Heaven, he said it was just spontaneous. He said, I just picked up a pen, and it literally wrote itself. Brother Jerry, he said, as I'm writing this song out, he said, I'm not saying this off the wall. He said, guitar picks come up off the table and stuck in the ceiling. He said, they're still there today.
Mm.
I just want you to know, buddy, who was over the music of heaven.
That's right.
Now, man. I want to read a little bit of that because some of y'all look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. So in Ezekiel chapter 28, I want you to notice verse 12. You know, one thing about God, He'll tell you anything you want to know if you want to know it.
Right.
So he tells us in Ezekiel 28. Now, if you got a good old Schofield Bible right now, it'd be real good. But if you don't have one, I do. But in Ezekiel chapter number 28, look at verse 12. Son of man. That's Ezekiel. He's talking to him. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God. Now if you've got a Scofield King James Bible, and your Bible may have it anyway, if you'll notice there's a one right there by the word thou. If you look down the footnotes, it'll say, here the language goes beyond the king of Tyre to Satan. And you read all the footnotes you want. I've got to, for sake of time, I've got to keep reading here. But here it jumps and it's talking about Satan. Thou sealest up the son full of wisdom. You know the Bible tells us to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. And Daniel, he was, lost the thought. Sealest up the son full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Satan was beautiful. That was his downfall. You can follow up by reading Isaiah 14, get a better perspective of what I'm talking about here. But look here at verse 13, talking about the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardust, I don't know what that looks like. Amen. The topaz and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx. And the jasper and the sapphire and the emerald and the carbuncle and gold. Look, notice this. The workmanship of thy tabret. That's a musical instrument.
Amen.
And of thy pipes. Again, a musical instrument. Was prepared in thee. By the way, about the devil. Notice this. Was prepared in thee the day that thou was what?
Created.
Right. Thank you, Sharon. The devil was created.
Yeah.
Thou art the anointed cherubim. This is what he was created for. Verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherubim that covereth. He was over the throne of God, over music. And I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Now here's the bad part. Thou was perfect. The devil made, God made the devil perfect. He was perfect. Look, verse 15. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created. Here's the problem. Till iniquity was found in thee. Here's what caused iniquity. Verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise. I mean, he was beautiful. He got the best of him. There's some people so full of themselves.
That's right.
I've heard this said about them, Brother Mitchell. I wish I could buy them for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth.
Right.
Some of our politicians, I feel kind of like that about a little bit.
Right.
But anyway, I'm not going to get political here today. But the problem with the devil was he was so beautiful, he thought too much of himself. Now, take this to mind. It can happen to you. The Bible tells us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Stay humble.
Right.
Stay low.
Right, right, right.
The Bible said about Jesus that he made no reputation of himself.
Uh-huh.
Old Brother Eddie, that's all I want to be is old Brother Eddie.
That's right.
I don't want to be Dr. Brother Eddie. I don't want to be famous, Brother Eddie. I just want to be Brother Eddie.
Amen.
It's an honor to be here
Bless
in a little church. It's an honor to be doing a little work for the glory of God. It doesn't bother me a bit that people are maybe they got 3,000, 5,000. It doesn't bother me a bit. I'm happy. I'm not jealous at all. I'm not envious at all. I'm thankful to be a little preacher in a little church doing a big work for God. Amen. I just want you to know that. Here, he was by the multitude of thy merchandise. They have filled the midst of thee. He got violent. He got a little short. Now, some of you husbands and wives can relate to this. I heard a Melvin Sisson preach one day, and he said his wife, Mary, said, we used to sit together. He said, well, right here I am. I ain't moved. You see what I mean? I noticed Carolyn and Jerry's up there sitting together. And that's the way it's supposed to be.
That's right.
And now, when she gets a little short with him, while he kind of scoots down a little bit. And he gets a little short with her, and she acts like she don't even know him. But, you know, that happened with the devil. He got too big for his britches.
Yeah, that's right.
He was so beautiful. He was so anointed. The multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. You see all this violence going on? I want you to know where it came from.
Amen.
Thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. You remember Jesus saying, I beheld Satan as lightning come down this earth. Let me tell you something. When he hit this ground, he run for a long time before he ever looked back.
Amen.
He thought he was pretty big, Brother Mitchell. I remember one time I thought I could whoop my dad. He showed me I was wrong. I didn't try it one time. He didn't take but once, you know what I mean?
Amen.
My dad right now, but I might fall out here. He showed me it wasn't even thinkable, possible, nothing. My son thought the same thing. We like a total house party. I was going to die showing him he wasn't big enough to whoop me. And I mean, there was some hide missing off us. And I wished it would never come to that. That's what happened with the devil. He rose up against the one that created him.
Yeah.
And he got cast out. And he's mad. I'll tell you right now. He said, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherubim, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will, you know, he's darkness now. I will cast thee to the ground, and Jesus did. And he said, I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. I want you to know, buddy, he's been brought down to nothing. He's a serpent slither on the ground. Amen. Thou hast defiled. Let me see, I may be reading more than I'm meant to read here. Let's see here. Now I'm going on to verse 19. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. I will bring thee. You know, you think about the devil, first thing you think about is Matthew chapter 25. And verse number 41, I believe it is, that hell was created for the devil and his angels. God's sitting there talking about fire as he's talking about the devil. He said, I'll bring forth fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all of them that behold thee. And all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee, and thou shalt be, notice this, a terror. He ain't done.
No, that's right.
And then notice, and never shall thou be any more. That's coming too. Right now he's a terror. Right now, buddy, he's walking about like a roaring lion seeking him whom he may devour. Mm-hmm. But rock music, they do. They seek the endorsement of Satan upon their success with their song. They'll tell you about it. When I got saved, I burned all my music. And listen, hey, when I got saved, that was probably one of the most blessed things I ever did. I mean, my dad's out there, let me have it, I'll sell it. I said, no, Dad, I want to burn it. I piled all that Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, and Steppenwolf, and man, all that stuff, piled all that up out there in the yard out there. And I mean, it would fill the bed of a pickup truck. And Dad's always saying, let me sell that, I can make some money. I said, no, Dad, I need to do this. I want to do this.
Amen.
Patrick, I set all that stuff on fire. You never heard such sound in your life, never saw such, I never, so many colors of smoke come up from that. I'll tell you this. That's the best thing I ever did.
Amen. There you
go. I go in stores now and they're playing them old songs, you know.
Right.
And I have to admit, it catches my ear. And I hear that, you know. See the deadhead sticker on the back of a Cadillac or something, you know. And all that, you know. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm glad them days ain't no more. But the Bible tells us to cast down every imagination and every thought that's against Christ, and in obedience, bring your mind to Christ. I may not quote that exactly right here, so let me get over here. It talks about bringing everything, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Casting down every imagination, every thought, and everything exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it to obedience of Christ. And even though you still hear them songs, you know what I do? I start drowning them out with, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. because he first loved me. I just drowned him out. I can't sing a lick, but I tell you what, I got a song in here. If I ever did get it out, I'll never get to sing again. Amen? Oh my. I drowned him out. Your singing is important. You're either going to honor God with your music. Well, you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You might well say, amen, Brother Eddie, or duck your head and say, oh, me.
Amen.
Everybody wants to get a closer walk with God.
Amen.
Burn your music.
Amen.
Amen.
Show God you mean it.
That's right.
Jesus said, whoever you love, that's who you're going to serve.
That's right.
Right.
He said, they say they love me with the mouth, but the heart's far from me.
Mm-hmm.
You've got these people, you know, they say, I'm saved. That woman yesterday that was drunk, she said she's saved. And I will say this about her daughter. She said she's saved and she was crying her eyes out. I could tell her life was a mess. I could tell she was glad to see me, glad to get the help I was able to offer.
Amen.
A lot of hurting people out there.
Yeah,
right. Well, this is a pastoral message. That's why your walk is important. Yeah. That's why your talk's important. That's why your drink's important.
Yeah.
That's why your singing's important. Your music's important. But let me say this, and I'll stop right here. Your prayer's important.
Amen.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Got a phone call yesterday. Pray, Sister Karen. But you did. And I got other phone calls. Prayer. I've been praying. Matter of fact, I don't more pray now than I am anything. Amen. But Bible does say pray without ceasing. Right here in the same book we're in Ephesians chapter 6. Look over at verse 18.
Right.
Praying always. Amen. Oh yeah. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Sarah shared something with me. I've been praying for two boys. I don't even know them. I will tell you this. They ain't been sleeping good. I promise you that. I promise you another thing. It'll be too long. You're going to get a phone call.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I pray for someone like what she mentioned to me. I started fasting and praying for this guy. He's my dad. I got a little impatient. I didn't know a whole lot back then. Don't know much now, Sybil. But I got a little impatient. And not knowing no better, I got down and I lost 40 pounds fasting. I got serious. I was convinced my dad was going to go to hell. And I got down and I'm praying and not really thinking about it. You know what I prayed, Sharon? I said, Lord, I don't want my dad to be able to eat or sleep till he gets saved.
Right.
It wasn't too long, buddy. Hello! He said, here's my dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he said, Mitchell?
Like
he said, you praying for me? I said, well, yeah, Dad, you know I'm praying for you. He said, well, I want you to quit. I didn't let it stop her. I said, why, Dad? You know what he said, Patrick? He said, I can't sleep and I can't eat.
That's
all I
can
do.
That's right.
Keep on the phone. I'm glad to hear that. Don't get me wrong. But you know what I did? I said, Daddy, let me ask you something. I said, if it was the other way around, remember that, Sarah.
Right.
He spoke what I actually prayed. I was trying to think of that. They were talking. I couldn't remember it. I remembered it afterwards. But I told him, I said, Dad, if it's the other way around, you're saved and I was lost. I said, Dad, if I asked you to quit praying for me, I said, would you do it, Daddy? It's the first time I ever heard my father weep. Through a lamentable voice, Sybil. He said, no, we're taking it easy on me. I ain't ready yet. I didn't take it easy on him. I didn't take it easy on him. But the Bible says the preparation of hearts of the Lord, the times and the seasons are in God's hands.
Yeah.
And God's got to get a heart ready. Daddy's heart was as hard as adamant stone. Anyway, 10 years later, I had to give up. I have to admit, I wasn't praying as hard and as faithful as I was before. But 10 years later, I got a phone call about 3:00 in the morning. And I answered that phone, and it was my dad. He said, son, I just want you to know I just got saved.
Amen.
And I'm about half asleep. I said, oh, okay. I don't know what to say, to be honest with you. I woke up next morning, Joanne, I thought maybe I dreamed that. I thought, man, that really happened? I mean, 3:00 in the morning, I mean, my eggs ain't even in the basket 3:00 in the morning. And I called Dad. I said, Dad, did you call me last night? He said, yeah, son. I said, did you tell me you got saved last night? He said, yeah, son. And he gave me his testimony. That was good.
Amen.
He didn't live too long after that, but praise praise God, he got in. Amen.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Hallelujah. I mean, down here we got no continuing city. So that means somebody's dying right now.
That's right.
Somewhere.
That's right.
They thought they'd be here tomorrow. Found out they didn't have no say in the matter.
That's right.
I know somebody does have a say in the matter.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, I do.
Woo! He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish.
Yeah. Right.
I thank God for that, Brother Ed.
Amen.
On the calendar of God, one day there's a day that used to say Eddie Wade was going to die on this day. Mm-hmm. You know what it says now?
Yeah.
It says he got eternal life, April 27, 1988, and death has no more dominion over me.
Amen.
I'm bulletproof. No weapon formed against me can prosper. I ain't gonna die. They can riddle me of bullets. And, you know, I may be able to stand for a little while, but after you lose so much blood, life of the flesh in the blood, yeah. I know sometime I'm gonna fall down.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm still going to heaven.
Right.
I don't know what I'm gonna look when I get them. They look like Swiss cheese when I get there, but I'm still going to heaven.
Right,
hey! Jesus said, no man's able to pluck them out of his hand. And he said, my Father's greater than all. And no man can pluck them out of my Father. I'm in two kinds of hands. I'm in nail-scarred hands.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, his Father has got his hands over those nail-scarred hands. I'm double covered.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
I don't even think about death no more. Matter of fact, Jesus said, whosoever believeth in me shall never die.
You're right.
You see that?
Risen.
I put that on this morning on purpose. Because we're fixing to have a baptism here in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to do, we're going to picture the death, burial, and the resurrection.
That's right.
Now, Patrick, he ain't going to die. But I'm going to picture him dying and being buried in that water. Mm-hmm. And I prayed this morning. I said, Lord, he's a big old boy. I said, could you help me? I feel up to it now. Yeah. I feel like I might be able to do it for a 66-year-old man. I'm feeling pretty good, you know. He may have to help me. I don't know. But, well, we're fixing to baptize him and Micah. And for those of you that don't know, baptism is a show of faith.
Yes, sir. That's right.
The day I got baptized, I thought, you know, Jesus, when he got baptized, the heaven was open to him. And heard a voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. And they saw the Holy Spirit like a dove come down and light upon him. And I expected that was going to happen to me, but all I got was wet. And I'll tell you one thing happened when I got baptized. Hey, listen to this. A man I worked with, Mark Bunch, he come up there and he said, I refuse to believe God could save someone like you. Now imagine saying that to a new convert. And I told him, I said, Brother Mark, I'm having a little bit of trouble with it myself. But he did. He said, I want to hear your testimony. And I gave him my testimony, Brother Head, and even though I was wet, he reached up, picked me plump off the ground, gave me a big bear hug.
Right.
He said, I believe it now.
Yeah.
I said, good.
Amen.
Just got saved. Just got baptized. 2 weeks after I got saved, I got baptized. And here comes Mark Bunch. Now, Mark knew me. He worked with me. He heard my filthy mouth. He saw the things I'd done, how mean I was. And he said, I refuse to believe that God could save someone like you. I couldn't argue with him. But he couldn't argue with the prophet neither. I gave my testimony. He said, amen, brother. Gave me a big old hug. And we had fellowship out there at work. And it pretty soon got noise abroad. Old Brother Eddie got saved. They come out of the woodwork. People I never even dreamed was saved said they'd been saved. I hope they were. I mean, the only one I can know for sure is me.
That's right.
That's right.
I know for sure I'm saved.
Amen.
Well, maybe you're here today. Maybe old Brother Eddie not intentionally, but maybe I rocked your boat a little bit.
Amen.
Maybe your heart's beating like a jungle drum right now. And you're trying to blame me for it. Ain't me. I'm just the messenger boy. I tell these people all the time. I'm just a messenger boy.
Right.
Amen.
And I deliver the message to God. Amen. God told Jonah, he said, Jonah, you go to Nineveh and you preach the bidding. I mean, you preach the preaching I bid you preach. Now, he didn't preach no dynamic message. Yet 40 days and then I'll be overthrown. But I want you to know one thing. When you've been in the belly of a whale 3 days and three nights,
yeah.
I don't know what he looked like, but he was a very effective preacher. I mean, buddy, from the greatest to the least, they put on sackcloth and ashes, and they done a true repentance. And Nineveh repented. Jonah's mad, but God's glad. and he spared 120,000 souls that didn't know their left hand from their right hand. I'm just like Jonah. I'm just a messenger boy. If your heart's beating like a jungle drum, that's good. That means God's trying to get your attention. Full-blooded Eddie rocked your boat. Don't blame me. There's something wrong with your boat. So we're getting ready to sing a verse of invitation on him. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. Get Brother Jerry, please. Sister Sharon, if you need to do anything right now, it'd be a good time to do it.
Amen. That's right.
Old Brother Eddie, Micah came to me, bless his heart. He walked in the church door, come up to me, and he said, Brother Eddie, he said, I want you to save me today. And I said, Micah, Brother Eddie can't save nobody. But I told him about one that could save him. I said, if you want to get saved today, I said, Micah, tell Jesus what you just told me. And I said, if you want to do that, you can do it right now. And he said, I do. And me and Micah went from there to right here, and little Micah gave his heart to Jesus. Amen. That's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. If you need to do something like that, well, you come right on. Go ahead, Brother Jerry.
Number two.